I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. And a major week of impeachment hearings on Capitol Hill ends today. Ambassador Gordon Sondland's Tuesday testimony was the most damaging testimony yet and implicated not only President Trump, but also some of his administration's top officials. And while yesterday's hearings are a tough act to follow, today, two more key witnesses are closing out the busy week. We heard from David Holmes, a career diplomat and political counselor at the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine.
Beginning in March 2019, the situation at the embassy and in Ukraine changed dramatically. Specifically, the three priorities of security, economy, and justice, and our support for Ukrainian democratic resistance to Russian aggression, became overshadowed by a political agenda promoted by former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani and a cadre of officials operating with a direct channel to the White House.
And Dr. Fiona Hill, the former top Russia advisor to the Trump White House, who worked under John Bolton. Hill recounted a heated July 10th conversation she had with Bolton over Gordon Sondland and Mick Mulvaney's role in the White House's Ukraine policy.
A specific instruction was that I had to go to the lawyers, to John Eisenberg, our senior counsel for the National Security Council, to basically say, you tell Eisenberg, Ambassador Bolton told me, that I am not part of this whatever drug deal that Mulvaney and Sondland are cooking up.
What did you understand him to mean by the drug deal that Mulvaney and Sondland were cooking up?
I took it to mean investigations for a meeting.
Byron Tao is a reporter for The Wall Street Journal covering the Justice Department and the FBI. Byron, thanks for coming back on The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
We just heard Dr. Hill talking about her July 10th conversation with former National Security Advisor John Bolton. Remind us the importance of that conversation.
Well, that conversation was one of many incidents that are under investigation by the Democratic-led House Intelligence Committee. Namely, that meeting was important because it was one where the two sort of different sides of the Ukrainian policymaking apparatus sort of came together in this meeting with some Ukrainian officials who were visiting Washington, D.C. The ambassador Gordon Sondland was sort of pushing this, what he described in his testimony as a quid pro quo. And you see other officials, including John Bolton and Fiona Hill, wanting to distance themselves from it.
One person whose name has come up repeatedly throughout all of the testimony is Rudy Giuliani, former U.S. mayor and, of course, Trump's personal attorney. Hill has already said in her closed-door testimony that she was alarmed by Giuliani's role in the U.S.-Ukraine policy, but she also referred to Gordon Sondland as a national security risk. What were her concerns with both of them?
Well, I think her concerns were essentially that this was an irregular channel that was possibly being manipulated by foreign officials. Indeed, she testified on Thursday the same thing, that there was this prosecutor in Ukraine who wanted to hang on to his position, and he was essentially using Rudy Giuliani and others as essentially a tool in order to hang on to his position and sort of derail U.S. policy. And I think that was what her concern was both then and now.
One of the narratives that we've seen emerge, at least from the Republicans in the House, is that of the Ukraine being the who interfered in the 2016 election. And Hill had some pretty strong words to say to that. Let's take a listen to what she had to say.
In the course of this investigation, I would ask that you please not promote politically driven falsehoods that so clearly advance Russian interests. As Republicans and Democrats have agreed for decades, Ukraine is a valued partner of the United States. And it plays an important role in our national security. And as I told the committee last month, I refuse to be part of an effort to legitimize an alternate narrative that the Ukrainian government is a U.S. adversary and that Ukraine, not Russia, attacked us in 2016. These fictions are harmful even if they're deployed for purely domestic political purposes.
Byron, what do you make of those comments? I mean, she's clearly stating that it was not Ukraine who interfered in the 2016 election and instead it was Russia.
Yeah, though she didn't name names, those comments were squarely aimed at the Republican allies of President Trump on the committee, who in the course of many of these hearings have suggested that the president may have had good reason to be concerned about what Ukraine may or may not have done in the 2016 election. And these were some very forceful comments from a top national security professional that those allegations that Ukraine interfered in the 2016 election on behalf of Hillary Clinton have no real basis in reality, and that the main driver of foreign election interference was, in fact, Russia.
We also heard diplomat David Holmes talk about the July 26 phone call that he overheard between Gordon Sondland and President Trump. And Holmes says that after that, Sondland told him the president didn't care about Ukraine, but that he only cared about, quote, big stuff that benefits the president, like the, quote, Biden investigation. And that goes against the Republican narrative that President Trump only cared about Ukrainian corruption, right?
That's right. And not just did Holmes's testimony make this point, but Gordon Sondland's testimony also made this point when he said repeatedly that the thing Rudy Giuliani was interested in was not that the investigations themselves into Burisma or the Bidens were conducted, but the fact that there was an announcement of them, meaning that that was useful for sort of domestic political purposes, but the actual investigations were not something that Rudy Giuliani was tremendously concerned about. And so this does go to the heart of the Democratic case, that this is not concern about corruption. It is, in fact, they were looking for a talking point for the 2020 election about Biden and his son's activities abroad.
Well, here's where it gets even more interesting. We heard yesterday in Gordon Sondland's testimony that Sondland repeatedly said that he did not realize that an investigation into Burisma was also an investigation into the Bidens. He made that clear in his testimony. Daniel Goldman, counsel, today brought up the same issue between Hill and Holmes. Let's hear a clip from what from that exchange.
Ambassadors Volker and Sondland have tried to draw a distinction between their understanding of the connection between Burisma and the Bidens. But Dr. Hill, was it apparent to you that when President Trump, Rudy Giuliani, or anyone else was pushing for an investigation into Burisma, that the reason why they wanted that investigation related to what President Trump said here, the Bidens?
It was very apparent to me that that was what Rudy Giuliani intended, yes. Intended to convey that Burisma was linked to the Bidens, and he said this publicly, repeatedly.
And Mr. Holmes, you also understood that Burisma was code for Bidens?
Yes.
And do you think that anyone involved in Ukraine matters in the spring and the summer would understand that as well?
Yes.
So, Byron, yesterday in Sondland's testimony, he kept referring to the fact that everyone was in the loop. It seems like when it comes to whether Burisma was a direct connection to the Bidens, it seems like there was a disconnect there. How significant is this contradiction we're hearing here from Hill and Holmes to what Sondland said yesterday?
Well, it's very significant because a number of these officials, as you've noted, including Gordon Sondland and Kurt Volker and others, have tried to distance themselves from this idea that they knew very early that the president and others were referring to the Bidens when they were using the term Burisma. And, you know, Rudy Giuliani and others made no secret as early as May or even before that, that they wanted this investigation into corruption, that it was directly linked to Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, and his role on the board of this energy company. So it does go to show that, you know, a lot of this was public a long time ago and that most of the people who were paying attention to Ukraine policy understood exactly what was going on.
And of course, it has come up in testimony that with a simple Google search for Burisma, you would clearly see that Hunter Biden was at least part of the board of directors there. Democratic counsel Goldman, again, seemed to be tying some of these theories about Ukraine's involvement in the 2016 election directly to Putin. Let's take a listen to that exchange.
And Dr. Hill, by promoting this theory of Ukrainian interference in the 2016 election, was President Trump adopting Vladimir Putin's view over his own senior advisors and intelligence officials?
I think we have to be very careful about the way that we phrase that. This is a view that President Putin and the Russian security services and many actors in Russia have promoted. But I think that this view has also got some traction, perhaps in parallel and separately here in the United States. And those two things have, over time, started to fuse together.
Byron, what stood out to you in that exchange? Because we know, for example, to bring up another moment in history here in the Mueller report, it was clearly stated there that there was interference in our 2016 election. So what stood out to you about that exchange?
Well, I think what she was saying there was essentially that this sort of alternative narrative that it was Ukraine that interfered in the 2016 election or may have interfered or allegedly interfered benefits Russia, which has consistently denied anything to do with election interference, even though every body of the U.S. government, including the House Intelligence Committee, has concluded that there was some sort of election interference. Now, the scope of that interference or what their aims were, that's still disputed, but no one who has looked at this really disputes that Russia interfered in the 2016 election.
Rudy Giuliani has not been on television at much, but he was vocal on Twitter yesterday during Gordon Sondland's testimony. What was his what did he have to say, Byron?
I actually didn't catch what Giuliani said, but essentially, I mean, the case he's been making is in public is that nothing was wrong here and that, you know, he's not responsible for any of what's going on.
You know, one of the things that comes up a lot in this is whether or not, despite what the case is that the Democrats are laying out, whether or not that's going to affect the Republican strategy at all, whether they're going to reshape their talking points or not. Devin Nunes has essentially said his opening statement has been very similar for each of these witnesses. So I'm wondering, do you see any of this having any effect whatsoever on the Republican strategy going forward?
Well, the Republican strategy has actually changed a little bit over time. At first, they were making process arguments, and now they seem to be moving towards defending the president on substance. But it remains to be seen exactly how they're going to handle some of these very damaging allegations that witnesses who have paraded before their committee are making about the president's conduct and the U.S. policy towards Ukraine.
Any sense when we might actually see articles of impeachment drafted up?
I think Democrats have said they'd like to do this by the end of the year, though that timeline is quite ambitious, and we're coming up on that right now.
Byron Tao is a reporter for The Wall Street Journal covering the Justice Department and the FBI. Byron, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.